grace toward you and give you peace. Let it be so.
Thank you. So Patty Dobson, is it anything?
I'm Regina Salmon.
Okay, Pastor Mike.
Could everybody hear that song?
Beautiful.
Very gorgeous.
So it didn't cut out?
No, it was very good on my side.
Oh,
it was good on my side.
Roger, excellent. Cindy, could you guys hear it okay?
It was
yeah, we got to get you hooked up with this. But it's we're working through it. Okay, who's Chromebook CC? Hopi?
Is that Hopi?
Probably.
Thursday.
Hey, Hopi, open your video.
Sweet little Mila.
Okay, here she comes.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
There's Hopi.
Okay. Well, that's I know that was the blessing by Elevation Church. A lot of people were part of it, but really kind of Cody and Terry are the ones that have been noted for. So we're going to go ahead now and we're going to be starting a prayer. So hang on here a second. I need to get my
don't break it.
Good.
I wonder how it chooses who needs to.
I can't figure out how to get everybody up at once instead of just who's talking.
We use the gallery button. While we're doing this, I'm just going to mute everyone. And if you notice, there we go. Everyone hear us okay? Okay, excellent. All right, so if you guys want to share something, you can raise your hand physically, and then I can unmute you, or you can go ahead and there's a raise your hand that you can actually use within the application, which will show up. So we're going to go ahead and if I ask someone to pray, of course, I'll unmute you as well, okay? So, oh, someone's chatting. I don't know, somebody chatting. I don't see it. Okay. Thought somebody was trying to talk to us. So we're going to go ahead now and start with right here, some prayer. And let me hopefully everybody can see that okay. It says the thumbnails are, oh, okay, I got it. So we're going to start with prayer for Hopi's dad. He's at the nursing home, and there's a virus outbreak. So unfortunately, I can't see you guys right now in this mode. So I don't know if I can do this. I'll have to work on this later, maybe. So, Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, and we just ask that you would just touch, Lord, the entire nursing home that has been infected with this coronavirus. And Lord, we pray that your healing power, Lord, would flow through there. And yes, the protective angels, Lord, would protect the residents that are there. We pray especially for Hopi's dad, Lord, that you would just let his immune system be strong and let him, Lord, be able to fight anything that would try to come against him. And we pray, Lord, that he would rest in you and trust in you in this time. We just lift the entire family before your throne of grace, Lord, and we ask that you bring your peace. As that song said, let the peace of God that passes all understanding guard Hopi's heart and her entire family's heart.
Yes.
And we just ask this now in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
And Roger, since you're on the phone, will you pray for healthcare workers and individuals on the front line?
Yes, Father, we just come before you and we ask, Father God, that your divine hand would move through all of those that are caring for those that are sick and that have contracted this all the hospitals and everybody that is trying fervently to take care of the sick. We just ask Father God for supernatural strength to be upon them, and we just graciously thank you for your divine intervention in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's see, thanks. Yeah, I turned the meeting. Is that going to do it? No, I'm here. And I was going to ask, Herman, would you pray for the president and all the leaders?
Heavenly Father, I just ask, Lord, for guidance for our president, for our government leaders, Father God, and others that are involved in the well-being of the United States and its people, Lord. Heavenly Father, and your children across the world. We ask for a blessing in abundance and a speedy recovery, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Herman. Thank you, Lord. So now I need to... Does anyone else have anything that's on their heart they want to have prayer for? Because... Feel free to just, you can unmute your mic and pray, or we can move on. Anyone?
Mike, I would just ask the Lord that through this whole situation, that this whole country and literally the entire earth that is contending with this virus, I would just ask that the Lord would lay it upon the hearts of everybody on the earth that are dealing with this, that they would cry out to God, they would repent, and they would press into God, and that they would remain in his love, and their love would remain in him. And this would not be a passing thing, that as it was in 9/11, where we all came to God in a big rush, and then when the dust settled, we returned back to our normal lives. And I pray, Father, that this would not be a repeat of what has happened in the past, in Jesus' name.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That people's hearts would be turned to the Lord and would remain turned to the Lord. That's good. Thank you, brother. Okay, we're going to head back to our slides. And now the way that this is going to work, we're just going to keep everyone muted. But at the end, anyone who has something on their heart, you know, please share. I don't know. I think it might show during it if you raise your hand and I can switch back. So anyone who wants to try that, we can see if it works. So here we go. Share. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to talk about being lead me to the rock. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Cannon Beach, but there's this huge rock there, and it is just amazing. And I just saw this picture on the internet, and I thought, okay, this will be really good to depict that whole idea of a rock that is so big and so enormous. It's a good representation of our Lord.
It's almost magnetizing, like. When people are at Cannon Beach and you're walking the beach, everybody goes in that direction.
Right.
It's like they're drawn to it.
Right.
Because of its majesty, about how big it is, and just it seems like there's just so much of God and his beautiful wonder in it that even people that don't know him are drawn to it.
Right. Yeah. And it's a, you know, it's an icon that's shown all around the world. I like that picture, though, that, you know, the sole individual. It's amazing that, you know, we can, as families, be led to the rock, but it really takes an individual effort. It takes each one of us making that choice that we're going to trust and rest our heart and our lives in the rock and lean on the rock and sit on the rock and build our foundation on the rock, that the rock is our foundation, we're not just born into being, you know what I'm saying, people who automatically are drawn to the rock. It's like God has to first draw us. And so it is an individual process. So first scripture that I was really thinking of this morning was Matthew 7:24-27. And I'm using the New King James because I really wanted to pick up some of the nuances that are in it. So if you'd like to read that, babe.
Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Mm-hmm. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
So I think it's interesting here that oh, wrong one, sorry. Let me go back. Oh, it's going all the way forward. Okay, hang on. I get it. Sorry.
Can we not bring people up to look at them?
We can only if we stop for a second. Yeah, so we can do that way.
Let's do it.
So you guys can see us in a little corner, right? When we've got that. Yeah, they can still see us. We just can't see it. She wants to see you. It's like, I think the only way that we're going to be able to do that is have a second device, which we'll work on that.
But I do want to say something while everybody's looking. That song that Carrie and Cody were singing, when it was saying he's before you and behind you and beside you
and within
and
you
with and around you and within you, this scripture actually depicts both. It can be God, or it can be not God. It can be the other things that attacks. And so either we're on God or we're not on God. And it's amazing to me how it depicts the rains coming down and the floods coming up and the winds coming from the side. It's we're going to be not, sometimes we're going to be hit by more than one thing. Sometimes we're going to be hit, by a lot of stuff. And we're like, you know, when is the end coming? When is enough enough? How many of us say that? And I know this week I really felt it. As Melissa was at the hospital for 25 hours, I was with the five babies. And there's a reason God gives young moms babies, because old moms are tired quick. But God gave me strength because I'm thinking about my daughter, and I'm thinking about how she's putting herself in danger to make other people be okay, and how God is like that for us. He sends what we need when we need it. And a lot of times the attack is more than one thing. It's a multiple myriad of things, but that doesn't make him any less God.
No.
And that does not make him any less caring and loving and kind and compassionate towards us. So if you're like me this week, and it's been not just one thing, but it's been a bunch of things, I just really want to encourage you guys to look to that rock. Like, let God be what you focus on, what your gaze is on. Because once you do that, even though the problems are still there, even though the winds are still blowing or the water's still rising to flood or the rains are still coming down, it doesn't make him any less God. And so I just want to encourage you guys that your gaze is very important. What you look at is very important. So be very careful that you're consistent with looking to God.
The Bible says to fix your eyes.
Fix your eyes. So it's your choice to fix. It's your choice to do that.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Paul said at one place, you know, when he was in a scripture like this, it's like there's an either or. It's like you're either built on the rock or you're not building on the rock. And as he said in one place, I believe better of all of you that you have built your lives on the rock. And that he is your foundation. But there are times that even though we've made him our foundation for our whole life, that when it comes to other circumstances, we can start letting our anchor be in the sand.
because we don't continue to remain, as the Bible says, remain in him, remaining in Christ, remaining in the rock, remaining on that support that is unfailing. You know, obviously, you know, we can see the world and we hear the world through the news and stuff. And we hear a lot of people that are frantic. They don't know what to do. They're kind of at their wit's end. You know, because it's unnerving to not know if you're going to, and of course, I'm not talking about the millennials who are on all the beaches and could care less and just are, you know, totally just living life and saying, I don't care about what they say.
I don't care if I get it or not.
But I'm talking about individuals who have put some years on and they're starting to say, whoa, what's happening to our world? And you know, we, as it says, he's all around us and within us, and we carry the kingdom of God. And yes. So we can be a rock for somebody because we can let them rest on the support that we already are supported on. And so we can be words of encouragement and strength. Doesn't mean that we have to, you know, just blow this off and say, oh, no big deal, you know, because obviously it is a big deal. We see the numbers. But we can also say on the other hand, but God,
yeah.
Yes. And if something comes to your house, just know that he cares for you. He cares greatly for you. Let's go ahead and go back to the next slide here. Does anybody have anything they want to share? I thought Vicky would. Go ahead, hon.
I was just going to say, there's a song, and it talks about how God is the same God in the valley that he is on the mountain.
Amen.
And right now we are in a valley because we're surrounded by all this negativity, all this fear, all this worry. And he also calls us to be mountains in this valley for those who don't understand what's going on or don't see him in this and all this stuff. So it's just, you know, it's just a reminder that, like what Gaylene was saying, he is still our God. He is still mighty, even if we're in the valley that he was when we were on the mountaintop with him.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, Tanya.
Oh, I was just saying, amen.
Amen.
I didn't have anything. Sorry.
Oh, no, no worries. You're good. Anyone else? Hopi. Okay. Go ahead, Hopi.
What you guys are talking about is, it actually hits me pretty hard right now because, you know, I've been up on that rock. Sorry, my mom's dog likes to join in. And I just keep seeming to slide down that rock. I climb back up, but I just keep stumbling.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Hopi? What is so amazing with God is he's always that hand reaching down that you can count on.
Yeah.
You can always be assured that his hand is always reaching you. He reaches you. He doesn't just try to get to you. He reaches you. And let that hand of mercy, let that hand of comfort just rest on you. Even if you're not all the way to the top, even if you're only making it halfway because the strength that you need just doesn't feel like it's in there. Let God's hand rest on you to give you peace. And then your heart can say, amen, 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 amen. I mean, sometimes that's all it can say in the midst of all of this fear and unknown. Just like I said last week, we have never been in a time like this. Anybody alive has never been in a time like this. And I doubt we will again before we pass or the Lord comes. So with that being said, I believe that God is just saying, you guys, this is your wake-up call. This is your opportunity to look outside yourself. Even though I'm calling you personally, you need to look outside yourself and see those that really need my love and care and bring me to them.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Hopi, you can know that even though you're slipping off the rock, that the rock is the one that's holding you and sustaining you and keeping you from falling and presenting him before himself and then reestablishing you back on the rock. And he doesn't fault you for slipping. He doesn't blame you for slipping. He doesn't condemn you for slipping. He knows that life does have pressures that push us off of him and push us away from him, but he's the one that draws us back. And know that he's at work in you to keep you sustained.
Thank you.
Okay, right there. And we're back. Okay. So in John 16:33, Jesus says, and I use the Passion Translation because it said it so so powerfully. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. Go ahead and continue reading.
For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world.
See, I just love that our doorway, our gateway to peace is a resting in him, a remaining in him. And even though, as he says here, in this unbelieving world, we will, he's telling the disciples here, including us, will experience trouble and sorrows. And that word is tribulations. But we're to be courageous and we're to be confident, because it's not that the world is the answer or even the final say.
Right.
He has conquered the world. So it's one of these things that we have to trust in and believe that what he said is true. And that even though our whole world may be sinking around us, or earthquakes, famines, pestilence, as we're seeing, whatever it would be, he has conquered the world. He has conquered the world system. So even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. And even though we're in this place, we're not of this place. We're of him. We're communicated as being aliens and foreigners in this distant land that seems so close to us, seems so real. I mean, you know, I'm sure many of you are probably, hopefully, as me, practicing social distancing and, you know, trying to physically keep from being contaminated. And how much do we do that spiritually? How much do we allow ourselves to remain in him in such a way that we're not being contaminated with the virus of being fallen from God? And that's not just sin. That can be just attitudes and mindsets and belief systems and all those things that keep us from being who he wants us to be. So he has conquered the world. Rest in him and know that that's where his peace lies.
I remember one time teaching or speaking actually at church a long time ago. And I said that a lot of times Christians depict a separating from the world in distance instead of distinction.
Oh yeah.
And we are called to be distinct, not called to be so distant that we are unreachable by the world, because the world sees us, the world sees Jesus, right, hopefully. Yeah. So I don't remember if you said John 16:33, but that's where that the Passion Translation was from, was John 16:33.
Yeah, for anybody who will be listening to this, yeah, if we do a recording here. Okay, so Psalm 61, 1 through 4, this is another powerful scripture. And again, I left it in the New King James just because I wanted the term the rock used. Other ones use security and foundation, but I really wanted the rock. So it says, go ahead.
To the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
When my heart is overwhelmed. I mean, there's times that, you know, we whether it's this case right now or cases that we've had happen with our family situations, with loved ones, with even dear friends, and our heart starts to get overwhelmed. And that's where we need to say, no, lead me, Lord, not what I'm seeing with my natural eyes, but lead me to what is in the invisible. And that's where my rock is. That's where my fortress is. It's higher than I. It's in a higher dimension. Even though it's within us, it's still a higher place. It's not in the natural realm where we're always seeing everything and being influenced by everything. It's a place that's a mystery, a secret place. And that is a place where we all have an opportunity to live, or at least go to when we're being overwhelmed or when we need answers. It's like where Jesus, or where the Lord is saying, come boldly through Paul to my throne of grace, where you'll find help and mercy in time of need. That's that secret place. That's that rock. That's that security. So I'm going to go ahead and see if anyone has anything else to share here. Anyone?
Anybody have anything to share? Roger?
Yes, sir. Well, the only thing I would say as a whole would be, this is not an hour of defeat, but an hour for victory.
Amen. And Jesse has something.
I was going to go back to the previous verse that we were looking at. What was that? John
16:33.
The complete Jewish Bible mentioned that it was united with Christ.
That's how it mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think that was a really neat way of translating that Greek there. United with Christ. We have peace then. Yeah.
I think a lot of times in our conscious mind, we see God, we see us, and we see the world. Instead of God and us and the world,
right.
We're united with God. So we are not just the ambassadors, but we are the direct reflection of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like
in Colossians, where it says that Jesus was the visible image of an invisible God.
Exactly. And that doesn't make us unreachable, because all of us have reached God, so we know he's reachable. Therefore, we can be reachable by our family and friends that don't know him, or not confident in him, or are struggling so much that they need an encouraging word, or they need more than what they have.
Yeah. And it does not mean that we are always the best representation of him. Being that representation, even though we know in our hearts, based upon his indwelling of us, how we should live, sometimes we don't measure up. We just don't pull it off. Vicki? Yes, I gotta mute Jesse. No, I gotta mute Jesse. Okay. There we go.
Okay. I was also going to say that we're going to see other people who are trying to reach God and who are reaching God and praising different than we do. And it's not a time for us to say that's wrong. It is a time to join hands with them, because God wants us all to praise him and join in his faith together, no matter what it looks like. Whether or not we believe the same way they do, or believe in some of the same things that they do, that when they are praising God and they're looking for faith to keep their faith strong, and they're trying to provide hope and faith for others, and we're to stand together with them to help them and encourage each other in doing that.
Amen. That's good. Moses, I see you looking out in the distance. That's usually a sign. Do you have something to share? I knew it. Why do I know you so well? Go ahead.
I'll share a little bit. What's on my heart through these times. You know, people are, you know, scared, confused, or whatever they have in their hearts. One thing that did come to my mind is be of good cheer, you know, and what a time for us to be a Christian. What a time to live right now. To profess the truth. And to practice what we've been reading and being been taught through all of our lives in our church and in our spiritual walk. You know, now it's time to put it into practice. You know, one thing that's been really on my heart was in the darkest hours when the light shines the brightest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to look for hope, and God has not given us the spirit of fear.
No, he hasn't.
One thing that, you know, you read a lot of different scriptures and stuff, you know, and I've been talking with Gina and the kids and stuff, you know, and, you know, everyone reads about the lion's den, you know, Daniel and the lion's den, you know, but I'm also smart enough not to walk into the lion's den, you know what I mean? Precaution. Yeah. If you're thrown in the lion's den, God's with you. But right. At the same time, I'm not going to go walk in and test that, you know. And I'm not, I refuse to live my life in fear of this. But also, the medical field has showed us how to avoid it, you know, and science has showed us how this stuff spreads, you know, and that's where we take the precaution. But to fear it, I do not fear it. I refuse to bring that spirit of fear into my home. I rebuke it, and I stand firm upon his word, and I refuse it. And those who have or are a little weaker in faith, who don't believe, we're here standing for you. This is what the church is for, what the believers are for, to unite together, you know. And those who are a little weak in their faith, be encouraged. Call out to God. Don't live in fear. Don't live in fear. I refuse to live in fear.
Yeah.
That's not my mindset, because I know who I am and I know who dwells in me. You know, and I've seen death, you know, in my family and everywhere. It can come at any time, any moment. It can be a virus. It could be just stepping out on the street, ran over by a car at any second. You know, we don't know. We don't know the hour. We don't know when our expiration date is, you know. So I refuse to live that way, you know. But I am taking precautions. I'm not a fool either. God has not given the spirit of foolishness. You know, we take precautions. We're praying for those who, when we stand together for those who are in the medical field and working and have to go out to work. I see Andrew. He's going out working. I have to go work. You know what I mean? But you know, the blood of Christ protects us. And I'm not, you know, be encouraged. Be encouraged and remember who dwells in your heart. Yeah. Remember that light that shines in you, because these people are going crazy. Some people are going crazy. I go to work and they have no hope. Mm-hmm. They have no hope, and I have to calm them down. I'm like, hey, don't worry about, they're worried about what's going to happen 2, 3, 4 weeks from now. And I'm like, just worry about today. We're here. We're alive. Your kids are fine. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, tomorrow's not promised. We all know that as Christians. Tomorrow's not promised.
Right.
It's not. Live, you know, let's live how God is, according to the word, how God has told us to live. And be that light. Be that light that God has called us to be at this hour, at this time. You know? And right. And I spent a lot of time dwelling, thinking about my mom and her courageous faith, and I would think, what would mom be doing right now? She'd be praying and laughing at you. So I took upon to myself, hey, I'm gonna be praying. I'm gonna be praying for you, praying for everybody, you know. And I refuse to live my life in fear. Stand strong. We're standing in the gap for those who are a little weaker in faith, who are shook by this. We're standing in the gap for them. Family members, friends, the churches. But the one thing that I see out there is how it's quickening the spirit in the church to get back down on your knees and pray. How it's quickening, how it's bringing families together again, you know. But be encouraged. People always talk about, oh, what if we lived in those times of the Bible? Well, we are living in the times of the Bible.
We are.
Know, and it's time to let the Holy Spirit rise up in you,
mm-hmm.
and manifest what he has planted in you, and let that fruit grow. Be the shade tree, be the fruit tree, be what God has called you to be in this hour. And I pray for encouragement for each and every one of you. I love you guys. Amen. That's what I have to say.
Thank you, brother. Oh, who?
Me.
Okay.
So I don't remember. I don't know how many of you guys remember Billie Jean Newhall. She used to go to our church a long time ago, and she was born with Down syndrome, and she has faced cancer a couple of times, and now she is our age, you know, mid-50s, and she is been diagnosed with terminal cancer, where they're not doing any kind of thing to save her. She's on hospice, and the Lord will take her if he doesn't heal her. But the amazing thing about her, and it's such a testimony to me, is when I went in to see her and pray with her and love on her, she had to pray and love on me. Like, and that's what she's doing in that nursing home. She is praying and loving on other people in that nursing home. She's being that light, even though she knows her light is going to be extinguished. She doesn't know when, but she is praying. She's doing a Facebook post where she's reading scripture out loud to people. I mean, it's so encouraging to see somebody when all they have left is faith, how that faith rises up. And that's what the world is expecting from us during this time, is to see our faith rise up, to see us, like Moses said, happy and enjoying life, even though it's scary, even though it's hard, even though we're close to it. We have the light of Jesus in us, and we need to let that light shine.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Billie Jean is doing. Got a couple more scriptures? It's okay. I think of Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. It's interesting that the name of the Lord here, you know, we say Jesus, and you know, we call out, and that's powerful. But there's something about letting ourselves just be engulfed in that name. And not just like, you know, crying out for help sometimes, Jesus help me, but I mean literally saying Jesus and just picturing ourselves being surrounded by his glory and his protection, and just allowing ourselves to let that peace that he is just calm the storm of life, calm the storm of our thoughts. And you know, the righteous, what makes us righteous is not our behavior. It's the fact that he's made us righteous. So we are the righteous. So we can run into him and be safe. We and be saved, even being delivered. You know, Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at our side and even 10,000 at our right hand, but it should not come near us. Here's another one. Psalm 27, 4-7. Go ahead, babe.
One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. There you go, Hopi. Mm-hmm. He shall set hope high upon a rock.
Amen.
And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me.
So hear this. David is crying out and saying, you know, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm resting in you. I know that you're going to defeat my enemies. I know that you're going to protect me. I know that you're my refuge and my fortress. You know, you're the God that I can trust in. You know, he's putting all his eggs in one basket, and that's God. You know, when you deal with, you know, finances and stuff, you know, especially if you're doing any kind of investment, they tell you don't just invest everything in one stock.
Why? Because one stock may not cut it. You know, they tell you to diversify, and they tell you to have, you know, some in commodities, some in real estate, and some, you know, basically spread your funds out so they don't get all taken down. And in a, you know, in a financial crisis like we're having now, we can see how that is probably wisdom for people. But when it comes to our lives, we put all our eggs in one basket, and that is God. You know, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to remain in God. We're going to keep our faith and our trust in him. As Moses is saying, that doesn't mean we're foolish and, you know, oh, I'm just going to go out and just do whatever. You know, God's going to protect me, and you tempt the Lord. No, we have wise people who have told us what things to do. That's why we're doing today what we're doing, you know, practicing social distancing. But we're really close on the screen, so I don't know if that's very good. We're closer than 3 feet on the screen. No, anyway, the point being is that, you know, we're not going to test the Lord by saying, you know, I'm just going to go out there and, you know, and just, you know, go to the beaches and just be crowded with a whole bunch of other people and, you know, yay, sarah, sarah, whatever happens, whatever. No, we use the wisdom that God gave us and the wisdom that's been communicated to us. But it still doesn't mean, like Moses said, that we have to fret and worry. I'm prepared with some stuff. You know, I bought a few weeks worth of things, you know, so that we wouldn't have to go out. And I did that weeks ago. And we haven't been hardly out of the house all week except to take Gay over to watch for the kids. And, but, you know, Tim's here with us. He said, let's go and get some ice cream. I said, you've got to be kidding. You want me to drive to the store just to get ice cream? That's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. But it's practical. But it's being practiced, also common sense, and it's also honoring the authorities that we've had. They've asked us to do these things. And so we're honoring the gathering number, and we're honoring the fact that, you know, you go out there and you can be subjected to the trials and the tribulations of this world. I mean, it's possible that one of us will get it, and it's possible that one of us may have a serious complication. But the thing is we're in Christ. You know, though we are slain, yet will we praise him. Though our lives are taken, yet will we praise him. That's hard to say, especially if we have family and they're growing up and everything. But we have to realize that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Again, as Moses said, we have today. And as he said in his word, that, you know, today there's enough troubles for us to worry about. Let's not worry about 3 and 4 weeks from now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're semi-planning to do this again next week, but we don't know what next week holds. You know, we know that we have today, and we have today to be in him and worship him and live a life that is for him. Mm-hmm. And with that said, does anybody have anything? Scanning, scanning, scanning. Tim, did you? Yes, Tim does. Hang on.
Oh.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. I just wanted to add, I mean, it's pretty much what you're saying, but I wanted to throw in there that we're all God's children. So to help us not to have to fear, our death is really a graduation. So we're going to graduate from this old body, this terrible life, into the promised land. So we don't have to fear death. And also, we don't have to fear this, we shouldn't fear this virus because, one, it's not that powerful anyway. Two, we are in God, so let's just show the rest of the world that we don't have a spirit of fear. So we shouldn't portray a spirit of fear out in the world. We should just be wise, listen to what the professionals are telling us, so we're not out there, like you say. But while we're around people, don't give it all the attention that it deserves. That's Satan out there trying to scare everybody. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
That's Amen. Good. Amen.
Anybody else?
Herman, hang on. Go ahead, Herman.
Okay, so this was, I was reading Mark this morning, and this is from Mark 1:40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. You know, leprosy may seem a lot, but what caught my attention here is where he says he reached out his hand. He reached out first and then he said, I am willing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, for us, we're not worried at home. We're going about our daily lives like normal. You know, we are being observant and paying attention. We're not taking it as a joke. We're not taking it too serious. But as the rest of us have been saying, you know, our faith lies in him. You know, that's who is in the forefront. That's who is in our home, in our lives, in our heart. And we know that he is willing. Are we willing? Is the rest of the world willing? Maybe not, you know, but this is like Moses said, we stand in the middle for those that don't know, those that
right.
are too worried about, don't talk to that person, don't go there, don't do that. You know, we're just seeing that is it for us, it hasn't been, we haven't been around people that are overwhelmed with this, except one person that we know, and we could understand, you know, everybody takes this differently, but again, it's just that it's having the faith that this is going to be over eventually. You know, like I said, we're not taking it as it's the end of our lives. It's the end. No, it's some people are saying the mark of the beast is coming. I don't believe that we're in those times yet, you know, but either way, I wanted to throw that out there, you know, to think about that. It's, Jesus said, I am willing.
He is willing. And, yeah.
Yes. And we need to be willing also, you know, to first, like Tim said, the professional, God is the first professional. He is the creator. He will get us through this. Mm-hmm. We have faith for our church family and for everybody around us.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Well said.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yep. Vicki?
Well, I was going to say, you know, that this contagion, this virus, whatever you want to label it, is that it's a natural thing that occurred, but it is a tool that the enemy is going to use to keep us separate from other people. Mm-hmm. He's going to use this time to separate us from each other, which apparently that's not happening. Thank you, Lord. But he's also trying it to separate us from other people and separate us, you know, socially, and we should be socially, you know, distant. But when you have to go out, like I know that, like I've had to go to the pharmacy and I have to do things with my client, like take them to dialysis and stuff. If you smile at people, even if your heart is heavy, if you still smile at people, some of them are so eager to see that smile because that smile represents the fact that you see them and you know that they are in the same place that you are,
yeah.
You know, so. So remember to do that, as hard as it is, remember to do that. And for those of us who are a little techie, use your tech. I know that like Hope can't see, her mom can't see her stepdad at Good Sam, but for those who have family members and people that do have technology or telephones, please reach out. Please use your technological savvy to reach out to those that you know that people may not be reaching out to, just to say hello, just to let them know that there's still some human contact for them in this time, because the enemy wants to separate us and he wants to separate the unbelievers from the believers so he can continue to work on the unbelievers and cause them to live in fear, cause them to live in anger and bitterness. So we have to step in, be wise, use what God has given us, and reach out for those, you know, and pass on information to people the best way that you can that is valid, sound information for resources and stuff.
Amen. Well said. Thank you, Vicki.
Anybody else?
Anyone else? Roger, Cindy? You guys good?
Yes, I'd like to input this. You know, we can't go anywhere, turn on anything without hearing the word coronavirus. I think we need to exchange that word with, and then there is God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also in Revelation Revelation 2:9, Jesus said, I know your afflictions, I know your troubles, I know your tribulations. But then he said, but you are rich, not monetarily, but we have to come to the realization to whatever it is that we go through, that our eternal salvation has been secured already. And also we have to come to the realization and really come to know that this is true, that we have the indwelling spirit and the power of Christ in us to get us through it. But that indwelling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is there to help us and also to comfort us through it all.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, brother. So one more thing to share. I go to the rock. You know that song? You know it? Maybe she doesn't know it. I'll sing it. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountains, and the mountain stands by me. When all the earth around me is sinking, stand on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. There's a little ditty that we can keep in our hearts. So lead me to the rock. I think that's a cry of our heart, but it can also be a verb that we live. In other words, we choose to be led to the rock. And one more thing to show. And then someone asked me today, like, okay, so how do we give in this type of situation? So I said, okay, I'll go ahead and post it. We have, is that the doorbell? Oh, it's a doorbell. You can give online at onelifefamilyworship.org, or you can still use cotm.net, which is a lot quicker. And then if you look on there, there's a click donate button. And this, you can, if you have PayPal, you can use PayPal, or you can give with just a credit card. Or we're in the Tri-Cities, and I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, speaking about tomorrow, about where we'll be or how we're going to be able to move around. So if you would like to give by check, you guys can bank at One Life Family Worship, care of Mike and Gaylene Lindell, 1646 Cactus Loop, Richland, Washington, 99352. So just wanted to give you guys that opportunity. I'll send out a text, everyone, that way you guys can know. So anyway, Gay went to answer the doorbell. We had a delivery coming in using that technology to have things brought to us so we didn't have to get out as much. So does anyone else have anything they want to say to anyone and share? Oh, me, Mom, does. Okay, hang on, me, Mom. Go ahead.
Happy birthday, Pastor Mike.
Not yet.
When?
Next week.
7 days.
Oh, I thought it was this week. No. Darn it. Okay.
It's next Sunday.
Yeah, give me another week to turn 60. That's fine.
And just so I'll just tell everybody here, I was planning a surprise party, doing all of that stuff, but obviously that's not going to happen.
Why?
So social distancing and everything. So anyway, so you guys can just tell them next week, happy birthday, and we'll have a party some other day.
So I'm going to unmute everyone here. So if you guys want to say some stuff, go ahead. And it can
Jesse's
be...
not unmuted.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, everybody's unmuted.
Oh, there we go.
So if you guys want to say goodbye or salutations or whatever.